sealed. You said my days were numbered. Case closed with no appeal. My future 6 feet under. Messing with my head in ghost fashion. My heart was holding its breath. Terrified of taking my last one. Oh, death, you scared me to death. Whoa. Your wrath, devil gone, get off of my shoulder. You thought you had the last laugh. You thought this song was over.
Again, we're here with Zach Williams on Behind the Tunes from the Visible Music College Studios. Check him out at ZachWilliamsMusic.com. Zach, do you remember the first song you ever wrote there around 19 years old?
Yeah, it was called Tribal Times.
Yeah?
Don't know why the name of the title was called Tribal Times. I don't know. You know, when you're 19 years old and, you know, everything is emotional and like, you know, tribal was the big tattoo that everybody had back then. And the song was called Tribal Times and it had nothing to do with the tattoo, but I remember writing it and it was really catchy and hooky and all my friends liked it. And they would always ask me to play it at all these parties. And I thought, man, I'm pretty dang good, you know? And so that kind of kicked it off for me. All I needed was a little confidence. And I played that song for years for friends until I wrote, you know, better one. But yeah, that was the first song I ever wrote. So,
well, at least your friends liked it, and that counts for a lot. That counts for a lot. Kick things off for you. Well, Zach, tell me a little bit about your songwriting process like today.
You know, before I moved to Nashville, I had never co-written a song with anybody. I'd always, you know, written them myself, you know, sometimes spend weeks, months on songs, ideas. Finally finishing them, you know, you get a lot of tunnel vision when you're writing by yourself. And when I moved to Nashville, co-writing was kind of the thing. And so I really enjoy it because I can keep a list of titles, you know, for songs in my phone with ideas going and I don't get stuck on one. I can kind of put one down when I run out of ideas and move on to the next one. And then the great thing is you bring it in to a songwriter with a couple other writers or maybe another writer and a producer. And, you know, they could take that idea a million different ways and maybe ways that you never thought about taking it. And so it's fun to bounce those ideas off. But a lot of times, if the title's strong enough, we'll write a chorus first, you know, and then work our way backwards and figure out how to land, you know, how do we write the verse now to make the chorus make sense. And so, but typically for me, I'm always starting with the lyric. I just keep lyrics in my phone all the time. And so, every once in a while though, you'll hear a melody and, somebody will be playing something on a guitar or piano and it'll just kind of strike a chord and you're kind of like, oh, that takes me to this place for a lyric idea. And, you know, I've written a few like that, but for the most part for me, I try to go in and, you know, work 3 or 4 hours on a song and leave with some sort of demo. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes you get a good chorus and you think it's good enough to go back and work on it again. And so you go finish it, but that's kind of how it's gone. And typically I'll try to write 40 or 50 songs for a record. And then hopefully out of that, there's, you know, 10 or 15 strong ones that I feel like are good enough to be on a record.
Man, just really good advice in there for those that are listening that are interested in songwriting or pursuing music. Because so many, like you said a minute ago, it's so easy to get tunnel vision when you're just writing by yourself all the time, you know? But we don't, people, especially on the front end sometimes, don't like to write with other people because they want their tunnel vision. They want to hang on to their tunnel vision, you know?
Yeah, but that perspective is so helpful to have somebody else's idea, you know? That doesn't mean you have to go with their idea, but it's nice to have it. You know, I came in with a completely different idea for a song. And, you know, I had this title that I wanted and we, like, seriously for 2 hours, messed around with this title and trying to figure out how to land it. And it ended up being a different lyric that we were singing that ended up being the song, you know, and that's how we landed it. And it more sense, but it, you know, it took 3 people to kind of think about it and say, well, this is easier to land, or this makes more sense, or I like this. And sometimes it just works better that way. And I think the more you do it, the easier it gets, you know, to let go of some of that, you know, some of those ideas that you feel like, maybe these are my babies and I don't want to give them away. You know, and especially when you're writing a bunch, you know, and for me, I've just learned, you know, it's such a community, you know, especially in Nashville, writers. And, you know, if you're a songwriter, you're going to write hundreds of songs.
Right.
You know? And so, it's nice to get attached to an idea, but don't get so attached to an idea that it can't be a better idea.
I'm at the end of myself and I'm tired. I've tried all that I know to do. Right now it's just by a thread, but I'm hanging on to you. I'm running out of hope, I need a miracle, and if I ever needed you, it's right now. Oh God, I'm desperate.
ever needed you, it's right now.
Zach, there's few things like live music. Is one of the greatest gifts I believe that God gives us here to enjoy together. But there's goofy stuff that happens along the way. Do you have a most embarrassing on-stage moment that sticks out to you?
Oh, my gosh. Man, I haven't had too many, like, I wouldn't say super embarrassing. Obviously, you've had the shows were about three songs in, realize your zipper's down and you're starting to question, was my guitar hanging low enough where nobody noticed it? And you're trying to pick it up. There's always tour pranks and things like that. I will say in my early years as a Christian artist, I was out touring and I was only playing a few songs a night, opening for a band. And I had a song that I would do every night called To the Table. And, during that song, and it was like a super serious song, kind of my one moment in the night to really kind of have this ministry part of my show. But it was, last show of the tour, knew there was going to be some sort of tour prank, and I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't really looking. I was concentrating, and as I'm singing this song, they brought a table out and literally brought everything that they could find to the table and just started stacking things onto the table. And so by the time I turned around, there was chairs and pizza boxes and whatever they could find backstage was stacked up, and the whole thing was bring it all to the table. And, the crowd's kind of snickering, and I'm like, what's going on, And I turn around, and of course, that's what it was. But
this is not a funny moment. What is everybody laughing about? What's the crowd doing?
This is my one serious moment in the song, That was one.
That's a good one. I had John Foreman on from Switchfoot a few weeks ago, and he told the story because the fly story is one that's pretty common. And he told the story about that he played this huge show, and a child had written on a poster board and was holding it up.
Yeah.
And he was trying to go see, oh, what's this child want me to see? And it said, John, your fly is down. You see, Jumbo, he looked on the Jumbotron, and sure enough, his fly was down. So,
yeah.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Bringing everything to the table. Bringing everything to the table. That's too funny.
Three brothers in a fire, willing to die for their faith. But you were with them in the fire, and they walked out the next day. And Daniel met a lion, because he chose to pray. But you shut the mouth of that lion, and he walked out the next day. So what's gonna be said of me when it's all said and done? Will I stand for my beliefs or will I turn around and run? Will let the whole world hear me say, I'm unashamed.
every tongue confess. So let it start right now. Tell the whole world about you. I'm unashamed.
Again, getting ready to wrap up here with Zach Williams on Behind the Tunes from the Visible Music College Studios. Check him out at ZachWilliamsMusic.com. Zach, I like to end with a little rapid fire. You got your game face on?
All right.
All right. What's your favorite junk food?
Gosh. I'm like a sweets guy, so anything sour gummy. Like,
all
right now, I'm the Jolly Rancher sour gummy kick, so I like those.
Those are good. Those are good. I'm with you on that. What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Ooh, man. I like probably like the, gosh, that's tough because I like pistachio.
So sweets, man. Do it for you. Sweets is your thing.
Yeah, it is. I try not to eat a lot of it, but I like the black walnut ice cream. I like the pistachio.
All right.
There's a black walnut that's got like pieces of cherry in it that's really good.
Oh, all right. All right. I'll check this out. I'll Google it.
Yeah.
Can you name one of the seven dwarfs?
Sleepy.
If you had to change your first name, what would you change it to?
Ooh. Dang, I don't know. I like my first name. I'd probably go with my middle name, Steven.
That's good. What color is your toothbrush?
White and blue.
In the movie about your life, what actor would play you?
The movie about my life, what actor would play me? What's the guy that played in Almost Famous? Jason Lee.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. If you could be any Marvel character, who would it be?
Oh, man. Star-Lord.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. What's your favorite board game?
Probably Monopoly.
Yep.
Monopoly or Clue.
Clue. You know, growing up, we had Clue. But the thing about Clue is if you're missing a piece, that's not good.
It's not fun.
You get to the end of the game. You're like, what?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean it's not Mrs. Peacock? You have a time machine for one day. When and where do you go?
Ooh. Time machine for one day. Where do I go? I'd probably go back to my high school days. Yeah.
Good old days. Favorite cartoon growing up?
Oh, man. Probably like Yosemite Sam.
Oh, those are good. Classic. You know, I'm always surprised that most people go to the classics. They're just timeless.
They're good.
I'm with you.
Yeah, they're great.
Would 12-year-old you think you're cool today?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think.
Come on. I'm with that. I support that. See? I'm always surprised people are like, I don't know. Like, come on. They would.
No, I think I would. I mean, my son's 14, and I think his friends think I'm cool. See, I don't know.
There you go. That's the measuring. The 14. If you got the 14-year-old crowd, Zach, you're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good. And last but not least, something you hate that everybody else loves.
Probably pumpkin spice.
Oh. The white girls are turning this off, Zach. They're all turning it off right now.
It's that time of year, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love, you know, fall, but the pumpkin spice lattes, man, they're too sweet.
I'm with
you. Too sweet for me.
I'm with you. I was somewhere. I was at a Waffle House, as we all should be, and the waitress said, we have a pumpkin spice waffle. Do you want it?
Oh,
I was like, no. Bring me my waffle.
They get a little crazy with that stuff now. It starts in August. You know, it's like.
You can buy your Halloween costume and get your pumpkin spice there in August. He's Zach Williams. ZachWilliamsMusic.com. Zach, you've been a ton of fun today, man. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Howdy, man. Have a good one, bro.
I know that ain't my father's voice. It could only be that liar in my ear trying to make me believe. So I'm calling him out in the name of the Lord.
Listen when I speak.
Devil, get behind me.
Your blessing.
You've been listening to Behind the Tunes with Austin Black. You can reach the show at behindthetunes@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next time as we go Behind the Tunes.